When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In sports, if you want to be the best, there are no off days.
This is the No Off Days podcast. Welcome on in. We got Chris Cato, BK's in the booth. I am Scott Smith, and happy post-Thanksgiving mortem. Hopefully you had enough to eat. I see you're wearing your zip-up hoodie so that you're covering, you know, whatever type of pounds that you might have packed.
Yeah, it was destructive for my physique.
You went home.
I did,
right?
Yeah. Okay, and, you know, mom cooked and aunts and uncles cooked, and it was 4 days of eating. Yeah.
I have recently created, within the last couple of years, a holiday that kind of lands between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's called Piesgiving. And it's, you know, it's all about pie.
Because we need more eating this time of year.
Well, so we bring people in, and it's there's three rules of Piesgiving, okay? Rule number one, it's all about the pie. So don't make it about something else. Don't bring other food into it.
A cake.
Number two, there's no drama, okay? We're not going to, you know, this is especially for my wife. Like, we don't have to worry about the house being, you know, spick and span.
This is casual.
You know? And then number three, maybe the most important, even though it's number three, is that only people that want to be a part of Piesgiving are welcome to be at Piesgiving. All right?
Does this make sense? Are you inviting me to
Piesgiving? I don't know. We're still kind of fleshing things out. So anyway, and that was a success too. You know, we did, I think, my Dutch apple.
Wait, so you've already done Piesgiving?
We did it. Yeah, we did it.
So I'm not getting invited.
No, sorry. Next year.
You had Dutch apple pie?
We had.
And you didn't call me?
I made it. From scratch.
You were so selfish.
Yeah, I know.
All the pies I've brought you.
Let me count the ways.
So many.
It was good. But I think I'm trying to figure out how I can get this into a national holiday. And I don't know what kind of, you know, fanfare I need to stir up to make that happen. But I'm thinking this is the first step.
If you could somehow get like the Swifties behind it or something, you need a movement.
I think
I
made them my enemies, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, you'll have to find another route.
Well, all right.
Okay. I like the idea though. Piesgiving. That's great.
Yeah, it is great, isn't it? All right. Well, let's welcome in Brian King. Brian, you big pie guy?
Pie.
Pie?
Pie. Love pie.
Not 3.14 in
infinity.
Yeah,
and if you do that, you're automatically disqualified from showing up. Don't try to, you know, this is
don't
not
make a
math
joke
equation.
Out of it.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
You know,
it's very
maybe
serious.
That's why I haven't been invited.
All right. Well, I can tell by BK's reaction he's not into Piesgiving. All right.
Why don't you like pies, BK?
No, I like pies.
Okay. All right.
Pie. Yeah.
Did you have pie for Thanksgiving?
I had pumpkin pie.
Okay.
I mean, it was apple pie, but I just stuck to the pumpkin pie. It was awesome.
All right.
I had pecan. My favorite.
Okay. Just one?
Cookie wasn't listening. I put in my order.
Hey, how was the pretzel strawberry deal?
I didn't get that either.
Whoa. She didn't make it?
No, she didn't make it.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It was kind of a...
She doesn't listen to the podcast then.
Since she's not listening, wow, what a fail my Thanksgiving was. You know, the dressing was dry. No, it was good. I can't complain.
Okay. All right. BK, what do we have on today's big show?
Big show. We're going to be talking a lot of football here.
Okay.
College play.
I got an appetite for that.
Yeah, the championship season is coming up right here this weekend. Plus, you know what that means. It's the playoff set. Playoff will be set after this weekend. And what does that mean? And how would it look this time next year?
Because it changes.
It changes next year.
A little bit of a change.
Yeah, some of us might wish it was changing this year.
Yeah,
so,
I sure do.
And then at the end, we're going to fire up the randomizer again. We haven't done that in a couple months, so we'll fire that bad boy up.
Is it fair to say the randomizer is maybe a staple? Is it like pie at Thanksgiving? Like the thing you look forward to?
The random pizer.
I get asked questions about the randomizer.
It's kind of our safety net, too. We know if we got nothing else that the viewers, the listeners love the randomizer.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of fun.
Okay. Right.
It's like almost like a therapy couch for the show.
It is. It leads to a lot of confessions that perhaps should just not be shared.
Yes.
You get to know a lot more about both of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where most of our editing gets done during the randomizer segment. Okay.
Right.
Very good. We are looking forward to that. And we have a new segment, too, this week.
We do. We're going to be making picks.
And so we have a guest picker.
Guest picker, yes.
Should we tell?
Let's go ahead and tell.
Okay.
Is it a banjo picker?
Where's number 14?
Where's number 14?
Okay. Last name Wilson. No. It's Mark Wilson, Fox 13.
Mark Wilson.
Oh. Big Florida State.
News anchor, and yes.
He's a rabid Seminole fan, he is.
Yes. He makes that drive all throughout the football season.
He does. He's got a car service. But yeah. They take him.
That's good. All right, very good, BK. We'll catch up with you in just a second.
Thanks.
If you're listening and you want to watch, go to fox13news.com/nodpod. If you're watching and you want to listen or subscribe, take out your phone, zap that QR code on the screen in the bottom right-hand corner, and there you can find all our shows. It is like a random Pizer. Every show is a little bit different, but it's a taste that's sure to settle the stomach and have you coming back for more. So please subscribe, fox13news.com/nodpod. All right, so as we tape the show, I mean, obviously there are so many different scenarios in the college football playoff. Four teams, they try to settle on them. There's so many teams, I would say, dare say, eight teams have a chance to crack into this playoff four. And if you just go down the rankings, it's the pretty much the top eight teams, right?
Right, right.
All right, so if all of the highest-ranked teams win, then those four teams in the playoffs will be, and let me know if you have an issue with this, it's all the undefeateds, right? It would be Georgia, Michigan, Washington, and Florida State. Probably in that order, right?
Yes, probably in that order, yeah.
Okay, let's throw a little wrench into it. Let's say all the favored team wins, so that means that the Oregon Ducks are the one team that they are favorites, but they do have a loss on their record. They are currently number five in the country. Let's say they win, every other team loses. I mean, every other team wins, and they win.
Gotcha.
So this is what I got. I got Georgia 1. I got Michigan 2. I got FSU sliding up to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Oregon coming in at number 4. In this scenario, you know, you're going to have to make some tough cuts, and that would be Texas.
That would be the other one-loss team. Oregon would have one loss.
Texas, a Big 12 champ, you know, but I think that the quality of win that you would have against a Washington would get you in over Texas. I think you're going to find in a lot of these scenarios that Texas tends to be the low man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately for them, just because of kind of the overall weakness of the Big 12 in comparison to the other ones, I mean, I'd say the Big 12 is stronger than the ACC, but you have an unbeaten FSU squad at the top.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I just throw a little pause in there?
Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree that that's how the scenario probably should turn out, that it will be a comparison between Oregon and Texas. Oregon getting credit for avenging its only loss, but I will say that one thing that the committee looks at, I know you don't like these things, but they look at these metrics, and if you look at strength of schedule, Texas has the 13th ranked strength of schedule. Oregon has 62.
That's current, but what would it look like after
beating
a Washington win? So that obviously goes into the formula.
I would put the Ducks there, but, man, I think Texas has one of the best wins of the season, beating Bama by 10 on the road. That would be tough for Texas to be left out.
And depending what happens, obviously if Bama loses, the strength of their schedule goes down just a skosh.
Looks like you figured out these computers.
All right, let's go with a scenario in which everybody wins that's favored to win, or all the highest-ranked teams win, but Georgia loses to your Crimson Tide. All right.
Which is what we need to happen.
All right. So in this scenario, I'm going Michigan number 1. I think that's the easy fit.
Mm-hmm.
I got Washington in there at number 2 at 13-0.
Okay.
I got Bama sliding up to number 3. And here's the issue. Again, it's going to be a Texas issue. I got Florida State coming in at number 4 unbeaten. But you're going to have an Alabama team that also lost to Texas. So Texas is going to be probably first team out sitting there at number 5 saying, hey, we beat Alabama, and how are we 2 spots lower than them with the same exact record, right?
Well, yes.
So
the justification would be
they beat Georgia.
But
it is a little bit of recency bias, which is a thing in the committee's eyes. But I'm just saying that could be – that's how I see it. I see FSU getting in there at number 4. But I could see an argument being made from the Longhorn standpoint saying, hey, head-to-head, what is more definitive than that?
Yeah, what about our 10-point win on the road? What I would say is that's a scenario where I'm glad it's left up to a committee where a lot of the members are coaches or athletic directors and not a system of computers, because I think a computer would look at Texas beating Bama by 10 and say, oh, well, Texas should be in. both are conference champions now, but I think that we have humans decide it because we all agree that teams change, get better throughout the season. And this Texas, sure. If you think that the Alabama team that lost to Texas in week two is the same Alabama team that's playing now, then you're just not paying attention.
Yeah, I would agree. But I would also say that Texas is a little bit better too. You know, as long as they're healthy at quarterback, I think that they're better as well. All right, let's go with a scenario in which all the highest ranked teams lose. Okay, so absolute mayhem this week.
That includes Michigan.
This does, yes. Let's throw that in there.
Oh my goodness!
Iowa, you know, finds an offense, and they're able to stifle those Wolverines. All right,
I'm gonna have to get out my abacus here. Okay.
In this situation, I got Bama sliding all the way up to one.
Okay.
So 12-1, most impressive win over number one Georgia, and by default, I think they slide up to one. I got the Ducks coming in at number two. Okay. They have the next most quality win that weekend, Pac-12 champs beating Washington. I have Georgia staying in it, sliding down to number three at 12-1. And then I got Michigan sliding into that fourth spot.
Oh, you got two Big Ten teams.
No. I have one Big Ten. So again, it's Bama, Oregon, Georgia, Michigan. If all the teams that are highest ranked this weekend lose.
Okay.
So your teams that are out, that would be Ohio State, which may have an argument. Hey, you know, we have one loss as well, and we didn't lose.
They beat
– You know, but they didn't play.
Ohio State beat – no, that was Penn State. Never mind.
Yeah.
Would Ohio State have an argument?
They're going to have the argument of, well, how can they leapfrog Michigan, right?
Yeah.
They lost to them. So then you got Washington and FSU. FSU with the one loss. I think that there is a little bit of a clamoring for FSU to expose themselves.
Brian jumped in with a good point. Ohio State would have the Notre Dame win to rest their laurels, possibly to make a case. We got a good win.
I mean, how still quality hard is that Ohio State in light of the other victories that we would see? You know, that would be a Bama win over Georgia. That would be an Oregon win over Washington. So,
What's funny? Did you play around with this All-State playoff predictor?
No.
No, I knew this was all your internal abacus cranking all this out. What you spit out there, I put it in as you were saying this, and it gave me Oregon, Bama, both with a 99% chance of getting in, Georgia staying in, like you said, and then it gave me Ohio State.
Really?
65% chance.
I don't see how Ohio State – now, let's go there, okay? So give me a scenario in which Ohio State gets in. What is the scenario in which a team that is not competing in a conference championship, lost to Michigan, is getting into the playoff four?
I would think Ohio State would want Michigan to win because that one team that beat you is still in it.
I agree.
That's what I would say. I would say that Bama wins, Louisville wins, Michigan just destroys Iowa, which probably will happen. Oklahoma State somehow beats Texas. And then you would have I don't know if it matters if Oregon or Washington win. But let's see.
I think Bama winning hurts Ohio State's chances. It's going to be hard for, you know, Ohio State to make that case over a Georgia, right? So I think the situation is Bama, Texas, Oregon, FSU all lose.
Yeah, you're right.
And Michigan wins. So, and then that situation, you might be able to make that argument. Ohio State maybe squeaks in there at number four. You got Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Ohio State.
I kind of think they're pretty much dead, though.
Give me a scenario in which FSU wins but does not get in. Does it exist?
FSU wins but doesn't get in.
They're an unbeaten team, and they're not in the playoffs.
Very unlikely, but I would say it's possible just because it could come down to one of these exercises in eye test. If, let's say, they win in a fluky way over Louisville.
Yeah.
Something bizarre happens at the end.
Maybe an injury, too.
Yeah, and they didn't dominate the game, and it just was like, they have a fluky kind of win, and Texas destroys Oklahoma State. You could argue that Texas has the better resume, even in spite of having one loss to its rival on a neutral field, that being Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think that's a scenario where I don't think it would happen, but I could say if you're looking for a scenario, that's one where it could happen.
I agree. And maybe even a Bama narrow defeat of Georgia combined with, a sloppy win over Louisville for FSU.
Yeah.
Give me a scenario in which FSU loses but still gets in.
I cannot do that.
No. You don't think there's a way?
I don't think so. Only because I do think in that situation they're going to be penalized for not having Jordan Travis and not being as potent as they were.
I tend to agree, but if there is a window, a crack, I think it would include a Texas loss, a Bama loss, and an Oregon loss. And then I think that FSU's loss to Louisville has to be very close. And then in that situation, they might be able to find themselves back in. So they have to look impressive in their loss in some way.
Maybe.
All right. Give me a scenario in which no SEC team gets in.
Okay. I've got that one for you here. Michigan wins. FSU wins. Oregon wins. And again, I don't think it matters, Oregon or Washington. Texas wins. That's going to come down to a comparison of
Texas and Bama, right?
It's going to come down to a comparison of Texas, Bama, and Oregon, if you want to say they have one loss, too. And an FSU team that's undefeated, but certainly looks like a different team without Jordan Travis. But I still think FSU gets in undefeated, along with Oregon. They avenge their only loss. And then Texas, it makes it easy for the committee, I think, when you just compare Texas, Bama head-to-head. Hey, Texas beat this team, you know, by 10 points in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. So no SEC teams in that scenario.
Yeah, I think Texas has to dominate in that game to really get some style points. How about one in which no Big Ten team gets in?
You know what I just realized? Just because as we're taping this, these committee rankings are fresh, that they put Ohio State at 6.
Yeah. Well, they were 6 in the AP.
Well, we don't care about the AP.
Earlier this week.
But I don't know. I push back against that, I think. Alabama and Texas are both better than Ohio State, but I'm also biased. Okay, what was the scenario?
Well, their only loss is to the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah.
Where your loss would be to Texas, your Alabama's loss would be to Texas. So, I mean, I can kind of see that. But again, the fact that they're going to be penalized because they're not playing in the conference championship this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like we knew Michigan, Ohio State, they're both in the top 4, but we know a game's coming.
Right.
So, it's going to sort itself out. All right, so no Big Ten team gets in. Here's my scenario. Obviously, Michigan has to lose, and then all the other favorites win. Texas has to win in an impressive fashion.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reality that there's no way Michigan loses. But
Iowa wins that game, the final score is 9-6? 6-3?
Yeah.
Iowa?
Right. Yeah, real ugly, no doubt. How about – let's go here. Let's end here. The most likely unrepresented power conference, and give it to me in order. I'll start out first.
Yes.
So most likely power conference to not be represented in the playoff. I think number one is the Big 12. I think they are currently on the outs. I think Texas has too many teams to try and hop. You have other teams that are a lock already. I do believe that Texas is going to win this weekend, but I just don't think that enough things are going to happen in front of them in order for them to get in. The second one that's most likely to be unrepresented is the ACC. And that all that really requires and most likely is FSU to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will be out. But I don't expect them to lose. But we'll get there. I don't want to give my
foreshadowing.
Picture. All right. Number 3, I'd say the Big Ten. In the scenario that we just named where Michigan loses, every other team wins. And obviously a loss to Iowa is not going to be a good look. Then I have the Pac-12. And then I think the least likely that they won't be represented is the SEC. Because I think the quality of win that Alabama would have would obviously put them in the conversation. And really for Georgia to be out of the top 4, you'd have to have all of the other things kind of fall their way as well.
Mm.
So that's how
I'm a little different than you on that, and I don't want to foreshadow our picks too much, but I find it hard to believe that you would think the Big 12 has the biggest chance of not making it when they are a 15-point favorite over Oklahoma State. And
but I'm saying that their win, even if they win this weekend, I don't think they need so many other things to kind of break their way, right?
Well, I think but I also think you're looking at this as that you are – and I don't want to give our picks away later that we'll make, but I think you're picking Florida State to win, whereas the odds makers are telling you that of all those teams, Florida State has a much higher possibility of losing. So I think when you say most unlikely, that's where I land. Like it's the ACC because if they're going to have if the odds makers are right, then they're going to have the closest game and the biggest chance of losing.
Yeah.
And that would put the ACC out. And then I would
But that comes down to, like, for the ACC to be out, it requires, obviously, FSU to lose. But for the Big 12 to be out, every other team that's favored could win.
Yeah.
And they're still sitting on the out.
Okay.
So, you know, that's – you'd have to have – what I'm saying is Texas's win. If all the favorites win, Texas is out.
Yeah.
You know? You have to have an upset scenario in which the ACC is not represented, and that would be FSU. Now, to your point, maybe FSU will lose that game. I'm saying that everything could go right for Texas this weekend. They could win in impressive fashion,
mm-hmm.
and if all the favorites win, Big 12's out. That's why I'm going that way.
I hear you. Okay, I buy your reasoning. And I would go Big 12 second in that ranking, and I would go Big 10. I would go SEC, then Pac-12. I think this Washington Oregon game is a play-in game. I think they're getting in either way. And then I would say the Big Ten, just because it's such a mismatch with Michigan and Iowa, the Big Ten has the most likely chance of being represented.
Okay, very good. I think we've exhausted this point. And by the time that you're watching this, you will see all the holes in our arguments, because maybe you've seen all these games already. Very good. All right, coming up on the other side, if you thought breaking down a 4-team playoff with all the possibilities was fun, well, then stick around, because the 12-team playoff is coming up next year. There are some amongst us that are not fans of the playoff expansion, and a tongue-lashing is coming their way next.
Who could that be?
Welcome back to the No Off Days podcast. Chris, did you enjoy the 14 playoff banter? I'm sure you did. And so all the arguments that were currently being made against the 12-team playoff, which is coming next year, were at one point made against the 14 playoff. So I want to see what that 12-team playoff looks like, because I know that there are some amongst us that are not fans of what is soon to be coming in college football. Let's bring in producer Brian King. And I just want to know, just overall thoughts, are we fans of what is coming next year, the 12-team playoff?
It's not that I'm not a fan of it. I'm just not I'm not buying the premise that it's going to make college football better.
Okay, so
the 12-team playoff.
So you're not saying you're a fan, you're not a fan, but you think it's going to make the game worse, okay?
The game as a whole, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
I've gone back and forth on this. Even as recently as last week, I thought Brian, and I know all of you guys out there listened to our heated discussion we had last week, I thought Brian made a lot of good points. But this is where I land on this. I think the 12 team is going to be better for the game.
Okay.
I have a couple of case studies that I can introduce.
I mean, you
later.
Have flipped now again.
I know.
Because I feel like 24 hours ago,
you were
saying, hey, I'm going to make the case that the 12 team, I'm with Brian. I'm team Brian.
I was mostly doing that just to ruffle your duck feathers. But, yeah, no, I after looking at this, I do believe that this is going to make the game better, because the number one point of having a playoff is what?
To find a champion.
And find the champion, and also have a great championship game to find the two teams most worthy of playing. And I thought about this last night, and I said, what was the most disappointing thing to me last year, other than not getting my strawberry pretzel salad at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
The most disappointing thing to me last year, such a great college football season, was what happened in January in Los Angeles when TCU dragged its carcass into that championship game. And it was 65-7 Georgia. I mean, that is – and you know what? If you have a 12-team playoff, a team that is flawed is going to have more opportunity to be exposed.
Okay, so resumes get exposed.
Yes.
All right.
And not resumes, but incomplete teams get exposed.
Well, right, but they got in because of their resume, and so we realized that these can't just be resume arguments. There's an element of eye test, right?
Yes.
And an element of strength of schedule and all that, right, that goes into it. But, Brian, I would say, not to put words in your mouth, but I've heard you say this many times, you think it just waters down the regular season way too much.
Well, it does water down the regular season, but going back to what Cato said, I mean, how often does that happen? How often have we've had 65-7 blowouts in a championship game?
Well, not often. We've had a few in the semifinals, though.
Yes, but that weeds out the process. And you're still going to have...
Wait, so a playoff weeds out the process?
No, okay. The 4-team playoff, you know, weeded out.
What you're saying is agreeing with me, though. You're saying, how often does it happen that we have a blowout in the national
championship? No, I'm saying that you just because of what happened last year, we're not going to change the entire playoff, and it makes it a 12-team playoff all of a sudden, you know, worth its merit.
All right, gentlemen.
So I'm just saying that it does, in the sense that it doesn't make the college game better, is that it does dilute the regular season.
Yeah, you know what I don't like about it was just what we experienced this past weekend when you have Ohio State-Michigan that feels like everything's on the line. right?
Right.
And you have this in the whole in app.
Because you'll never experience that with a 12-team playoff. You'll never experience everything being on the line.
No, you missed my point. The game, where is this big rivalry game, it's not only a huge rivalry game where you have a 2-3, it's an elimination game. We won't have that again in the 12-team scenario.
We won't have an elimination game in a 12-team playoff. Okay.
You're terrible at arguing. That's not what I said. I said,
what did you just say?
In the game where Ohio State plays Michigan.
In that particular game, this particular season.
No, any season where they play on November 20, put it on the calendar 22nd,
but not
whether
every,
it's in
not
Ann Arbor
year,
or
not,
Columbus.
Right, but not every year. Will Ohio State and Michigan be in the playoff picture?
Most years it's for high stakes. And I'm just saying that, okay, can we agree?
Recently, yes.
Can we agree college football is top heavy and it's going to be the same suspects pretty much every year?
It could be, but
are you sitting here telling me that Ohio State and Michigan play, usually it's not going to count for something?
I believe you're going to start making my point. So here's my thing, is that it is in some ways about crowning a champ. But I am a college football fan, so what I want to see are compelling matchups. And I want like every other sport in professional ranks, we see, and in college ranks, we see a crescendo. It's reaching its pinnacle. In college football, we don't do that, okay? We have a great regular season. We have some great conference championship games. Rivalry games are a lot of fun. We have a horrible bowl season. Most of these games, nobody is watching nor cares about. And then you have three games at the end, three games a month after the season. I like having a long playoff because these are going to be matchups that we can all get on board with. They are all elimination games. And so, yes, while you dilute a little bit of the regular season, I agree with you, Brian. There is a dilution that takes place, just like there was a dilution that takes place when you have a 14 playoff. Just to what extent, it'll be a little bit more, right? There will still be value. It's not turning into the NFL. It's a much smaller percentage of teams that actually make the playoffs. You got 130-plus teams that are in college football. You have, 32 teams in the NFL, and about a third of them make the postseason, right? Or half of them. So, the process is going to – you're going to get the same type of elimination games, the same type of stakes, but it's just slid back a little bit. Let me give you a scenario, okay? All right, so last week I would classify regular season value games, okay? So let me give you a very high value game.
Okay.
That would have been the Ohio State-Michigan game last week. Very high, right? So that means both teams win in, lose out. Then let's go down a notch. Let's go high. Okay, so you got two good teams, and maybe only one has a playoff shot. Medium value games. Okay, you got one good team has a playoff shot, and then the other team is maybe not good at all. Then you got low, which is maybe two good teams with no playoff shots. Okay, last week I would say we had one very high. That was Ohio State, Michigan. Both teams had something in it. They win, they're in. They lose, they're out. Okay, you have. Let's go three high stakes games.
Okay.
So Oregon State, Oregon trying to keep their season alive. Oregon State really nothing to play for. UW Washington, same situation. Bama Auburn, same situation. Okay. Then you had a handful of medium value games, which would be Florida State, Florida, because these I think the opponents are a little bit inferior. No offense, Gator fans, but you had Texas Tech, Texas, right? Everybody knew that this was a favored game. Georgia Tech. Okay, so medium value. So at the end of the game, or at the end of the weekend, you have four high or very high stake games. Okay, in a 12-team playoff, what you would have is everything slides down a little bit. So you're not getting very high values. But you're getting a whole bunch of medium-valued games. So the Ohio State-Michigan game, it still has value in that, everybody wants to fight for that first-round bye. The top four teams, the top four Power Five conference winners get that first-round bye. That is a great value. It's not like, they don't want to have to play a game that they're going to potentially lose in. So there will be value to that, right? Then you have... and I would say Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Oregon State, UW, Washington, Bama, Auburn. Those are all medium value games in a 12-team playoff. And then you have kind of medium to low. And there's a whole bunch of them, including teams that you would scoff at, but they would have a chance to fight their way in. Any two-loss team last week is sitting there on the verge. So we're sliding it down. I know that they're not as prestigious as, the Iron Bowl, but like you have an Iowa-Nebraska game that now kind of means something. You're fighting your way in. You have a Tulane team that is trying to represent the non-Power 5 teams and win their conference. They have to win to stay in the mix.
So you're telling me. You're telling me.
I'm just saying there's more. There's more. It's. I know it's diluted. I understand that. But there's more. And then here's the payoff, is that the playoffs, you have 11 games that are all very high. Because it's everybody has everything to win and everything to lose. 11 games. 4 in the first round, 4 in the second, 2 and then 1. Like, to me, if you want more good games, more quality games, I think the playoff is the way to get you there. And yes, it requires watering down a little bit of the regular season, but I still think college football fans will love it. They still care about rivalry games. They still care about – I mean, if you're jostling for position, you know – I just think, I don't know. Yeah. I think that in the grand scheme of things, it's better for college football fans. It's better for viewership. And give me something that reaches a crescendo, reaches a peak in a natural way. And the bowl season is not a natural progression. It's a giant lull. And then sometimes, you know, these bowl games have guys that don't, they sit out. Your team looks totally different. Even championship caliber teams that end up playing in the playoff four, like they've had a month off. Like they look at they look different, some of these teams, when they come into play. Hence your point to the semifinal games we've seen lately.
You would make a great TV network executive, because I think that is who's going to benefit from this.
They're, exactly.
They want more matchups, at bigger matchups.
Let me give you a quick scenario before you get a word out edgewise of what a 12 team would look like this year. Okay? And you tell me if this doesn't get you salivating there, BK. Okay. I know you're looking at me cross-eyed. I know. I get it.
You'll
okay?
be looking at him like a Dutch apple pie by the
here
time
you go.
He's done.
Your bye game, your bye teams are going to be Georgia, Michigan. This is just based on the latest rankings this week. Okay? So Georgia, Michigan, UW, Florida State. They all get first round byes. Your round one games. Okay? You got Tulane at Oregon. Okay? I know that that may not mean a whole lot, but there's a fan base.
Tulane's a good team.
This is we're giving the group of five a seat at the table, and I know it's a shot in the dark, but it's kind of fun.
I like
and everybody that is like for the small guy. They're gonna have they will care about this game. You got Ole Miss at Ohio State. You got Penn State at Texas. You got Mizzou at Bama, two teams that did not meet during the regular season. That's round one.
Wow. Okay, round Penn State at Texas. That would be good.
Yeah. I mean, and look at what we're getting, even just this year. I mean, we're getting Power 5 teams, really good Power 5 teams, facing off against each other. How do we get that during the regular season?
I can tell you how exactly you get it. You're getting it this weekend with Oregon playing Washington. Who's going to be watching that game?
I'm saying out
that
of conference teams.
That game has got huge
ramifications. We all want to say strength of schedule, but you dictate your own schedule. Right, you're a victim of your own conference, right? So, like, if your conference is strong, then hey, every win you get, you're amazing, right? And it's easy for SEC teams, that especially at the top of the SEC, to always boast their strength of schedule. But for good teams in less than powerful conferences, like, you're always fighting that uphill battle. Every out of conference game, you schedule it. This goes to the whole game about having teams like playing Mercer on a weekend or playing North Alabama, teams that like really have no place in this.
You will get more of that though, and I know you agree that it's going to water down. And
yeah, I'd like to get rid of that, but that's a different argument to me. Like, this playoff makes sure that we're going to get those. We're going to get
different
conferences butting heads at the end of the season.
You won't get Bama, Texas in week two. Texas is in the conference now. Pick another. Because SEC is going to go to 9 games, which they should have a long time ago, 9 conference games. So they're not going to – why would I take a risk on taking a loss early in the season when I can get in – I've got higher odds of getting in a 12-team playoff now.
Here's what I'm saying. If every team does that and they're only going to play their conference out, okay, there's going to be ramifications for it, because now there's going to have more teams with fewer losses at the end of the season that are fighting for that 12. It probably only makes the playoff better, honestly. And so, yeah, maybe you're not going to have some of those marquee matchups early in the season out of conference. But I think it's – my point is that it's backloaded, and that's how sports should be. It should be backloaded. It should get better as the season progresses, not worse. You know, I don't want my best. I don't want – it's not NASCAR. I don't want my Super Bowl the first week of the season. I want it at the end.
That's not how it is now in college football. The best week's not the first week of the season.
But
the
argument –
here's the thing. You're talking about the crescendo. With the 12-team playoff, the crescendo is going to start December and go to January. Whereas right now with the 4-team playoff, you got a crescendo starting in the first week of September, building all the way continuously to the playoff. What's wrong with that?
Because you're not getting conferences against each other in the time it matters, when it matters.
But it's a building. I mean,
Bama lost to Texas.
Right.
What is the penalty for them right now?
They're sitting outside
the
playoff looking
in.
But they knew that going in.
If they beat Georgia, they're in the playoffs.
No, we just looked at like several scenarios where they're not.
Scott, it's not
more than likely.
I'm with Brian on this, that they will stop scheduling these tougher early season games.
I don't care. That's a different conversation.
I get what you want.
You'd rather have September games that mean a ton, but December games that really don't.
No, I'm saying that college football is unique in the fact that its season is the entire season a crescendo. Just compare it up against college basketball. There is nothing in the regular season of college basketball that's appealing. Come March, the sport's
different.
Fascinating.
It's different. They play more games. But you can't look. There's fewer games, and so you're competing for different spots. I think it's hard to argue with what a 12-team playoff is going to give you more games that matter.
Okay, which game would matter more using that 12-team playoff? You got Oregon playing Washington this weekend. Does that game mean a lot? Or Oregon playing Tulane next year in the opening round of playoffs?
Oregon versus Tulane in the opening round of the playoffs
will
mean more because both teams have a chance to play in or lose out. Like, both teams are fully leveraged.
Same with Oregon and Washington Friday.
Yeah, for this in particular team. But, okay, take the Big 12 championship. Okay, what does Oklahoma State have to play for? Nothing. What does Iowa have to play for?
But that's, nothing. Why? Why?
Because I want
the regular season, Scott.
Because to me, games that are the best are when both teams are equally leveraged. When both have skin in the game, both have something to win, both have everything to lose. Those are the best kind of college games.
Then I say, let's just start the tournament at the beginning of the year where everybody's fresh, everybody's healthy, run it through September, and we're done with college football. What's the point of the regular season?
That's not a genuine suggestion because it's just not practical.
It's the whole metric thing that you have low value, high value. The Texas Tech game. You had that, I don't know, mid, low value, I forgot. Yeah. But Texas loses that game, that's pretty high value for the
Longhorns. I know, but I'm saying it's medium value in that. What was the spread on that? Anybody know?
Who cares? What
did Texas win by? I care when I'm assessing the value
I'm saying executive guy.
I'm saying
he's putting together a show.
It's a show. It's entertainment value. And yes, like Texas Tech never was going to beat Texas. Like the chances of that happening were very slim. Hence why the odds makers had the Longhorns heavily favored.
Then I say.
So, yes, Texas had everything to lose, but the chances of them losing, very small. Same thing with Michigan, Iowa this week.
Okay.
Same thing. So, I want games where both teams are fully leveraged, and that's, to me, going to give you the best. And I don't know. I want my December to matter. I want it to be a December to remember.
I think we will be, when the dust settles, and we have no choice anyway, we're going there. I think it will be exciting next season.
BK?
It will water down the regular season. Yes. And these Penn State, we'll watch Penn State, Ohio State. Yeah, we'll watch Alabama, Tennessee, but it will have nothing compared to what it will next
okay.
year.
Okay, hang on, BK. Before you fully beat that drum, we're only talking about two lost teams getting in the 12. So we're not talking about – when you say that regular season doesn't matter, of course it matters. It just matters to a certain extent.
It matters
less. You're not getting NFC South caliber teams that have seven losses still potentially in the mix or with losing records getting into the
right.
postseason.
That's not happening. But
you're right. It's a totally different animal.
But you're getting closer to the Philadelphia beating Kansas City in week 4 not mattering because it doesn't matter.
It's totally different.
It's getting closer to that side. You can't argue that.
Two lost teams, that's going to be like the threshold. It's like it'll be like the most – it'll be two lost teams that get in. That doesn't take away the value of the regular season. Anyway.
I wish it was 12 teams this year so I wouldn't have to worry about Bama's future here.
All right. Very good. We will table this conversation until 10 minutes after the show. Thank you very much, BK. All right. It's time for our pick segment for games this weekend. Our guest picker this week, he has been known to pick a guitar or two, but he will be picking against his beloved Noles. probably not. More Narcod coming up next.
You just picked a fight.
Welcome on back to the No Off Days podcast. It is time for our pick segment, and with that, we introduce our guest picker, a longtime news anchor for Fox 13 here in Tampa, lead guitarist for Wilson Van, and an unashamed FSU Seminoles fan. So here
There's
he is.
There's the door. I check my bias. It's over.
I mean, he comes. I think you wear this underneath your
now
your
you guys
jacket
know,
and your
the tie, great
right?
story. Well, it's not a great story. It's fun to me because you know I'm not really a Jersey guy. As much as I am a sports fan, I just don't do jerseys. Until FSU signs this kid named Johnny Wilson, of course.
And it legit, works out, too, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And what happens is, what some of you may remember, my father's name is John. We called him Johnny forever, as his mother did for a very long time. John's actually my first name,
but
too.
But your dad is not 6'7", right?
No, we don't call him the Birdman. He doesn't make those catches, but no. But, you know, it's a little bit of fun. It's, you know, so this is the first and only jersey I've ever worn.
That's a good cool. one to start so, with. Yeah. What a magical season your Seminoles are having here. It's a return to the glory
Magic's
days.
The
does
word.
It feel you've been up to campus a lot? Does it feel like this is
just in a matter of 3 years? We had 30,000 people in those stands.
Yeah.
You talk about heartbreaking, you know, because you know I bleed garnet and gold. That was some of the toughest times we've ever seen. To see that transition, and I think a lot of us believed in Mike Norvell, but to see it happen so quickly, everybody's just as surprised as we are excited. So,
are you into the jinxing phase of the season? I mean, where you feel like if you do anything that you have not done previous weeks, that maybe you might throw
like
off.
Like appear on the Nod Pod?
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Oh,
oh you we said
have,
it.
We have been known to.
I was a little worried. You texted me this one. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
well,
boy.
You know, sometimes, no. you know, we see it on College Game Day. Okay. You know, if Kirk Herbstreit's calling a game, he doesn't pick that game. So,
yeah.
Once we get to the ACC Championship, I'll let you make your decision
Got
on
it.
Whether
okay.
you want to pick it or not.
Roger that.
All right, let's start with the Pac-12 championship. This is Oregon number 5 against number 3 Washington, a big-time game with playoff implications. Oregon comes in surprising. As we tape this on Tuesday, they are 9.5-point favorites going into this game. Again, this is a Friday night game in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 championship and potentially a ride to the Final Four. So, we will start with our guest. Mark, who you got in this game?
I'm probably going to go against the grain here. I think it's a little bit of a sucker bet. I think Vegas is trying to pull us in. And I will say this. I think Oregon is playing really well.
Yeah.
But I think this whole media hype about all of a sudden you got to look sexy and it's not about winning. It is about winning. And I think what Washington has done is what Florida State has done. They find a way to win. I think they find a way to win.
All okay. right.
He's
going with the
Huskies. He's going
then.
Penix yeah. over Bonix.
I do.
All right.
I didn't see that coming. I thought he was going to give us Oregon, but not by 9.5 points. I'm going to go Ducks, but I do think the line is a bit misleading. I think the last two times these guys have played, it's been 36-33 last year and 37-34 this year. I think it's something like that. But I do think Oregon is going to have an advantage running the ball, so I'm going to go Ducks, get the revenge.
Yeah, I think it's hard to beat a team twice in 1 year. Especially a team, I think Oregon, you know, since that loss to Washington, it really has kind of lit a fuse for this team. I think they're clicking on both sides of the ball. I think Washington's defense is a little bit suspect. I do say the Ducks win. I don't think they cover the 9.5, though.
Did you check your bias at the door, though?
No, absolutely not. How can I? All right, let's jump into the Big 12 championship game. This is Saturday noon kickoff. We have 18 Oklahoma State taking on number 7 Texas. Texas still one of those one-loss fringe teams trying to fight their way in. If the cards fold right, they might be able to find their way into the playoff. Who you got? We got Texas. They are 14.5-point favorites, Mark.
Cowboys are fun. You know they're going to bring it. I don't see them getting into Texas, though. I think Texas covers and wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Wouldn't it be fun, though, if Mike Gundy in, you know, this final going away present, because they already beat Oklahoma earlier in the
right.
season,
right?
Nice. Right. You could knock off Oklahoma and Texas in the same year and win the Big 12. They're so run dependent, Oklahoma State is, and that's what Texas's defense
yeah.
is built to stop. So I think it's going to be Longhorns pretty big.
So not Ollie oxen free. Okay, I got you. All right, I'm going Texas as well. I don't think the Horns cover. I think it's going to be a tighter game. Gundy usually can game scheme up a team pretty well. So
hey, fun facts.
Yes.
Oklahoma State has won 9 of the last 13 against Texas.
They have a great record.
Yeah. Those Texas teams aren't this Texas team.
Right.
That, right. All right, let's jump into the SEC Championship, one where Chris's colors might show a little bit. We got number 1 Georgia against number 8 Alabama. Georgia 6-point favorites. This is a 4 o'clock kick in Atlanta on Saturday. Mark, who you got?
This is the game of the week.
You so?
I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
This is really it. I don't know where this goes. I've seen more of Bama play this year than I have of Georgia. Last week was a little different. It's just tough to say. But if it comes down to it, sorry, Chris, I think the Dogs get them.
I don't fault you for that.
Wait, hang on. I want to know what's under the hoodie. What do you got?
I'm not concerned about the SEC championship. I'm concerned about the Sun Belt championship with my alma mater, the Troy Trojans, playing Charlie Belcher's App State
not
Mountaineers.
One of our picks.
No, we didn't get that one in. Okay, I was trying to, just not. So, yeah, I think Mark's probably on the right side, but I can't sit here and pick against my team. Take what you saw last week against Auburn, kind of throw that out the window, because Auburn's a weird thing. It's a weird animal. And I think Georgia was holding back a lot, too, when they played Georgia Tech. These two teams know each other so well. They're kind of built to play each other. They've crescendoed the whole season to get to this point. So I'm not picking against my team, though. Let's go Bama with some other fluky, crazy play at the end. Why not? Let's make it fun.
They know how to do it.
I like the momentum that Bama has. I mean, Milroe's kind of turned his season around. And I think this comes down to probably a last-second field goal. I mean, but I think it's going to be the Dogs. I think they're going to find their way into the big dance yet again. But I think it's a little bit too close for comfort. So Dogs win, but narrow. All right, let's get to it, Mark. The ACC championship game this Saturday night, 8 o'clock in Charlotte. You got 14th-ranked Louisville taking on 4th-ranked FSU. This is just a 2.5-point spread. The Noles favored to win.
I think we win and cover, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to speak too soundly about this, but Louisville's is all an air show. Yeah. They throw the ball really well. We've got the top defense secondary in the country. We've got two of the best corners in the country. I think we stop them easily there. I was much more fearful of Florida last week because of their running game, and for good reason, and they showed it. So I don't think we struggled nearly as much with Louisville as they did in a very tough rivalry game. We know about those things, like what happened last weekend. I think Rademacher finds his footing, has a little bit better start. So I say Noles by 10.
Yeah.
By 10? Okay. Wow, I am trying not to. I'm friends with you, and I want us to continue to have a great relationship.
But
I'm trying not to pick with my heart that wants a scenario for Bama to get into the playoff here.
But you will.
I'm just a little worried about the Seminoles on offense. Defense is great. Boy, that was a struggle. And again, I know it was a rivalry game at the Swamp, hard place to play, no matter how bad Florida is. But just kind of an inability to get things going. And also, I think Louisville losing was the worst thing to happen for Florida State, because Louisville lost because they turned the ball over 3 times to Kentucky, left a short field. So their eyes are going to be wide open about protecting the ball. And they do have a couple of pretty good running backs. I think I'm going to go with Louisville here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think of all the running backs on the field, I think the Noles have the best. And I think that's the formula. Trey Benson, pound the rock.
Where did he come from?
Wait, sorry, what?
Where did he come from?
Oh, yeah, he's an Oregon Duck. So that, I guess my feathers are starting to poke out from my flannel here.
It happens to all of us.
But I think that defense is sound, and we saw that last week against the Gators. And this is game number 3 for Tate. So, more reps, I think he's going to get and there's no team really that goes into this, I think, this last week with a bigger chip on their shoulder than the Noles, because there's so many teams just waiting, so many people that think that, hey, they got to show their colors. They're nothing without Jordan Travis. Get them out of the Final Four. We got other teams that we want to get to. And I think FSU has to make a statement, and I think they do make a statement. And so I'm going to go double-digit win by the Noles as well.
They certainly
cover, and they win the ACC championship. All right, let's get into the NFL. We got a couple of good ones.
Iowa, right? We're all taking Iowa in the Big Ten championship.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Hands
down.
All right, NFL, we got Panthers at Bucks, of course, a local game for us here. Panthers, worst team in the NFL, fired their head coach. Bucks come into this one desperately needing a victory. 5.5-point favorites. This one, a 4 o'clock kick on Sunday.
Bucks, I think they're angry. They should be. They should be a little bit embarrassed after last week. So I think they come out and I think they win. But it's getting to that sad point in the season, isn't it? It's just frustrating.
We could prolong the sadness with a win. Right?
Well, that's the hard part. If they keep winning, there's still a chance that this team could somehow get in the
Mark,
playoffs.
Mark, they could be in first place by the end of the weekend.
Unreal. It's unreal. That's the worst, the worst division in the NFL for you.
All right, so you got Bucks.
Yeah, I got to go Bucks too. If it was any other team, I probably would not. But I think this is set up well. We're at home. I think the defense is going to look to prove something, and also offensive line, let's protect Baker, let's keep him clean, and I think they can do that, and I think the Bucks will get a badly needed division win here.
Yeah, Baker taking on his former team, a team that gave up on him. I do think that last year we saw Carolina kind of turn the corner once they fired their coach and went interim. Maybe there's something about that galvanizes that club. I don't know, but I still got the Bucks at home. I think it's going to be an ugly victory, though, and I don't think they cover the 5.5. So give me a narrow Bucks win. Oh, it seems like a 4 or 5 point victory at home for the Buccaneers.
When was our last pretty victory, by the way?
Touche.
Germany.
Germany. Seahawks. Yes. Not on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
All right, the other one. This will be a good game, at least we expect. 49ers visiting the Eagles, two of the best teams in the NFL. Niners come in 3-point favorites. This is a 4:25 kick on Fox Sunday.
Niners raised a lot of eyebrows. I think when the line came out, everybody's like, how are they going to be favored in Philly? I think they're playing healthy. They're playing strong, which they weren't the first time they met. I think Philly's defense is a little bit weaker than it should be. So I'm going Philly. I'm going the Niners for sure to cover.
Okay. I love this matchup. Two teams whose offenses can beat you multiple ways. Like if you want to look at teams that look different in the red zone, they don't get boxed in there. They've got 3 or 4 different looks that they can give opposing defenses. I do think the Niners have a slight edge on defense. It's hard to pick against Philadelphia at home. They seem to have some kind of weird mojo going there. So I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going Eagles.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to ride Jalen Hurts and the Eagles.
Yeah, simply the fact that they made the 49ers the favorites going into Philly. I mean, that crowd's going to be a tough one to combat. Yeah. They do have – I love the Niners. I mean, to me, like, if I just look at it on paper, like, to me, that's the best squad maybe in the NFL, but certainly in the NFC. But I do think the Eagles at home, when we see a rematch in the NFC Championship game, maybe a different story, but I think the Eagles take this one. All right, we got fantasy football. All right, give me a fantasy football lock for all the folks that watch, and of course they tune into the Nod Pod to get their latest fantasy football advice. Who do you have this week that if he's on your team, got to start him?
I was going to take Christian McCaffrey because this is the healthiest I think he's ever been. But that's why I think the Niners are going to do better. But I'm going to stretch it a little bit. I think the Saints are going to give a heck of a fight to the Lions, and half their receiving core is out. And I think Derek Carr is slowly finding himself. So I'm going Taysom Hill. We can't miss. In the three positions
he
can play.
Does it all, right?
Yeah.
Can you start him in the flex?
I think you can.
Yeah, we have him in our league. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
He's their entire offense.
I'm going to put him in.
Because I think Olave is out with a concussion as well.
Yes. So. Yeah. I'm going to – that's a good call, by the way. I'm going to go Tyreek Hill against the team that's giving up the most receiving yards in the NFL now. That would be the Commanders. So I'm going to go big day for Hill, at least 2 touchdowns.
That's probably a safe bet. By the way, I'm playing you this week in our fantasy football.
Oh, you got the Angry Manatees?
Yeah,
watch
absolutely.
Out. We're on a tear.
I'm on a 4-game winning streak, and I expect to keep it going. Although this guy that's starting is not on my team, but I would start him. I'm going to go Pittsburgh running back Najee Harris, taking on maybe one of the worst run defenses in the league in the Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be a game in Pittsburgh. Najee's coming off his best game of the year, almost hit triple digits last week. So this week at home, and it's going to be forecast calls for a little bit of rain in Pittsburgh. I think they're going to run it a lot. So give me Najee Harris for a big day for the Steelers.
Good call.
All right. There you go.
We got time for a tasteless dad joke?
Yes, please.
Always.
All right,
please.
We got Billy Napier, we got Prime, and we got Jimbo Fisher. They walk into a bar.
I love it already.
To watch the FSU bowl game, of course.
Is it ever too soon? That is.
So it's an FSU playoff game, the way you're trending here.
Well, let's hope.
That was good.
Well, we thank you, Mark Wilson, for joining us on Picks.
Thank you, fellas.
You're the
absolutely.
Best.
Thank you.
Thank you,
absolutely.
Thank you. All right.
Yep,
very good.
It.
Coming up on the No Off Days podcast, it's maybe our favorite game that we play, a Nod Pod original. The randomizer is back, loaded up with thousands of random questions, and we will do our best to answer them when the No Off Days podcast continues. I needed a little breather after that last one. Welcome back into the No Off Days podcast. We got Chris Cato, BK, come back on in, EP BK, and we got the randomizer set up for this one, one of our favorites. So let's get that thing rolling. How many pre-selected questions?
Well, it's still like 3,000 in there. Four are going to come up, though. That's the randomness.
Are these all AI generated?
No, these are all BK generated.
Okay. Yeah. Even
better.
Even better. All right. Very good.
All right. Let's go ahead and roll that first question off air.
We have to say stop, remember?
Yeah.
Because it's voice
acting. That's right. We broke our button. Okay. Right. You want me to?
Yeah. You can
stop. All right. Stop.
There you go. What is the subject that you could talk about nonstop, completely unprepared, for at least 10 minutes?
If I know Chris, like I think I know Chris, that what isn't there?
Playoff scenarios? No, I think we covered
yeah.
that one.
Right.
Greek mythology. I think I've proven that on this podcast, right?
Yes.
You want to go Greek or Roman? I can go down the whole lineage.
I didn't know there was a difference.
There's
two sects.
Well, you know,
sects with a T.
There's Zeus and there's his Roman version was Jupiter. So
the
there's
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah. They had aliases so that they could go down and pillage the villagers in the form of a swan, if you know what I mean.
Well, let's not go 10 minutes on this. You think it's...
Yeah, Greek mythology.
I mean, obviously, outside of sports, I would say, religion, theology, the eternal decrees of God. I do that.
Worse that I went with a fake religion and you went with a real one. But
so I like that. I'm recently into gardening, so even though I'm not good at it, I enjoy talking to.
I don't
want to
hear 10
that.
Minutes of you talking about gardening.
See, I have no place to go with it. I have no place to go. But yeah.
Okay.
And stop.
What is a skill that no one knows how to do today?
Gardening.
Here we go again.
Hey, you try to come up with your own food. You know what I mean? I would say critical thinking. No. Let's see. Reading a map is probably one that I would be guilty of. Like if I had to unfold one of those things that was stuffed underneath, you know.
Right.
You
know, or in the glove box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like what is this? Where am I? What city am I in? I would say writing in cursive would be one. Like, you know, my kids are learning how to write in cursive. And if I try to write in cursive, it actually looks like I'm 10 years old again.
Why are they learning to write in cursive?
I don't know.
Calligraphy or art?
That's the school's teaching them how to write in cursive.
Well, every generation needs a scribe, I guess.
Well, you need to learn how to write, right?
Yeah, but in cursive. That's interesting. No, I love cursive, but I'm surprised schools are teaching it anywhere.
Okay.
And not, here's your keyboard. Type away on this. Yeah, I would go, okay, so yours was cursive. I would say listening with an open mind to another person is a skill we don't have. No,
wait. You know, give me an example of that, please.
Rewind the podcast. Okay. Here it is. It's driving a stick. We just had a story on the news the other night about how these car thieves, jumped in and it was on surveillance video. It was beautiful. Broke into this car to steal it, and then couldn't get it going, and then had to bail out because. Young kids, man. These kids, they didn't know how to drive a stick.
That would be actually funny to watch, you know?
It was hilarious.
Have them burn the clutch out while they're trying to get away with the car. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Did you learn on that?
Scott, Brian, I had a 3 on the column. You ever seen a 3 on the column?
My dad's car.
I don't know what that is.
76 Chevy, your stick's on the column of the steering wheel.
Steering column, okay.
So it's like an extra handle, you know? It's like opposite of where your windshield wiper handle would be, and you're cranking that baby like this.
Yeah.
Good time.
I kind of missed the manual. I learned on a stick shift, and I missed that. I would probably be awful on it.
Pop a clutch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Wind
roll
it up.
And stop.
What is a talent that you wish you were born with?
Speech. I would be the first talking baby. I would be in all the movies. They wouldn't have to do voiceovers.
I would say newborns are the most unskilled labor force. So, right?
Yeah, or changing
my
own diaper.
What skill is somebody born with? Do you mean that? Do you mean like actual as a baby that you had a skill?
No, more like just a talent you were that's God-given.
I think things too literally. Yeah, here's what I would pick, and I just went through this.
A baby driving a manual.
And folding a map. Yeah, while it talks gardening. No, I just went home for Thanksgiving. One of my friends, Wade Keith, is such a talented guitar player. He's the kind of guy that you could say
slapping a bass.
He's a jukebox. You could say, hey, could you play some Stone Temple Pilots? And he'd say, I don't really know it, but I think I can figure it out. And in 20 seconds, he'll figure out all the chords. And then he'll do a little solo breakdown that's not even part of the song, but it's better.
Wow.
So that's what I would do. I would be Wade Keith if I could.
You should open up his YouTube page and maybe get some of the benefits of that musical talent.
Yeah, he's good.
His agent.
Yeah, so I'd say, yeah, being able to play a guitar or just recognize a key, like not being tone deaf, would be great.
Yeah, that would be good. I think musical talent's probably up there. That'd be cool. Because I agree with you. Like, it seems like if you learn an instrument early, you're more inclined to be able to do all the other instruments,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right.
You know, and speaking of instruments, like the guy that we just had on, very inclined musically. So.
He is, yes.
I would say... I looked in the athletic realm, it would be nice to have like really amazing speed. I think that that would have been a game changer for my life. I wouldn't be sitting here if I was super fast. But I'm going to say something probably a little bit more obscure. Small talk. Like, I think that's a skill that I don't have and I don't care to have. I really like, you know, when you're kind of trapped in a conversation with somebody you don't know and you don't really have anything to say. I'm constantly in this environment with my wife that is, you know, she's
gregarious
and
yes.
She goes out, mm-hmm. Great word, and she meets people, she acquires friends for me, and the husband of friends that she has, yeah. And I, you know, you have to engage in small talk, and it's not one of my favorite things to do, so we just end up staring at paint drying on the wall.
You shove another piece of pie in your mouth.
So
have you tried my Dutch apple? I made it myself.
So you don't know anything about sports, huh? Okay, this is going to be tough. Yeah. What about you, BK?
I don't know. Just dance, I guess.
You took breakdancing
lessons. I took, and that was like 5 lessons. But just like dancing.
This has always been a hang-up
so
for you.
So you've always wanted to dance?
Not
like
dance.
Like Fred Astaire or
no,
what?
No,
like,
no. Just where you go to, you know, like at a wedding, and then everybody goes out there and starts, and you're going, oh.
Swing dancing.
So you're doing the side-to-side kind of.
Yeah, I get you. No.
So, okay. You know, just something like that, or be able to tell
like
a joke.
Like, you want to be like a showstopper. Like, everybody forms a circle, and then you do your thing.
Not necessarily. Just so I can have dance with enough skill to where I'm not embarrassed when I go out there, or I have confidence when I go, hey, yeah, I can knock this out.
Or would it be equally as good if you just didn't care what other people thought and you danced the way you currently do?
No, I'd rather know how to dance.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think I'd rather have the other. Just shameless.
Yeah,
I could
shameless
care
dancing.
Less. And I'm going to be a horrible dancer, and I love it. Yeah. I think, I don't know.
Embarrass all my children at their weddings and everything.
Yeah. There goes Dad again. Watch this new move I've been working on. Hey! Okay.
All right. Well, here we go. One more.
We got to have a Nod Pod dance party.
No,
we need
one of these last segments.
We need a timer on this show, too.
I'm going to see if I don't say stop, if it'll keep going. You think it'll? Okay, stop. I said stop.
Last hype thing that you completely fell for?
The last hype thing that I fell for?
Last hype.
Well, I'm not really into the hype things. I would say probably food bowls. Like,
ooh.
Yeah, so like,
oh, like
every
the
food
new,
item
right.
has to come into a bowl, and it has to be healthy, and, you know, like, we have places around here, there's a lot of them. Everything comes, every food item is now in a bowl.
Wait, you were just trying to sell me on one of these places a couple weeks ago.
Where?
Kava? You're the
hype. Oh,
yeah,
I do
hype.
Love Kava.
See, he's a hype man.
But, okay, but I've been on the Kava train for like a decade
you
now.
You are such a hypocrite.
Okay, no. I was on the hype train there. But what I'm saying now is I'm more back to sandwich guy. I'm sandwich guy again.
Boy.
I was, yeah.
I used to be on the 4-team playoff train, but now I'm 12-teamer guy.
The whole point of being on a hype thing is that you're not on the hype thing anymore. When did I suggest Kava to you?
Like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. That is something I used to be on. And now I'm back into sandwiches.
So fickle.
And I used to be on the flatbread sandwiches at Subway, and now I'm back to just regular bread. Just give me the regular. The flatbread has lost its luster.
You'll be trashing regular bread in 3 weeks. last hype thing I completely fell for. That word completely makes me. I don't know, man. Made a lot of poor choices. I would say.
Oh boy! Here comes the therapy couch.
Can I make a list? I'd say Disney World, like, this will offend a lot of people and send them jumping off a cliff, but it is overhyped, right? Like, it's not.
But were you ever on that hype train?
I thought it, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you had to have been on it. Did you ever see some
Like, was I hyping it?
Yes. When was the last time you wore Mickey ears?
It's been a while.
Okay.
Like, 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I would say probably. Oh, you know, we were supposed to have a great eclipse like a month ago. And I went outside and stared straight at it with my eyeballs.
You're not supposed to. You got to build the oatmeal box.
No, I did. I went to the library and picked up the free eclipse viewers, and it was kind of a dud.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked
Who's
away.
Who's responsible for hyping eclipses?
Meteorologist,
okay.
I think.
Yeah,
the
same guys
that
are
the heat index.
Yeah. I see what's going on here. I see the racket.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a good answer. I guess that's it. The eclipse that was a dud.
That was fun. I liked it. I feel like we learned a little bit more about each other.
We did.
I'm a little bit more suspicious, I think, of weather guys. rightfully so. All right, very good, BK. Thank you so much. All right, if you want to get a little bit more NodPod in your life, go to fox13news.com/NodPod or hit that QR code. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to get the podcast sent to your phone. Every week, you don't even have to look for it. Big thanks to our guest picker, Mark Wilson, today, our NodPod crew. We got Sean working the big jib cam, and we have Chris back there punching the ones and twos. I believe that's correct.
Yes, not the ones and zeros.
All right, we have two Chrises on the show. We once had a three Chris show.
We did. Yeah, bye, Chris. Whatever.
Much thanks to BK, to Chris. I'm Scott. Thanks for watching the No Off Days podcast. Until the next time we are on, there are no off days.
Hey, Roll Tide, go Trojans.
Oh,
there you go.
Sun's up, champs. What time is it?